Our first trip will be to Monarch Springs Camp Meeting in the year 1959. The voice you will hear is that of Brother E.M. Zinn in his message on the house of God, building of God.
One of the things we desire, they're somewhere else. They vanish away. They become worn out, threadbare, have to be repaired or something like that. But what God gives a man or a woman his soul, and that's eternal as God is, to keep it in working order. I thank the Lord tonight because I like to come to this sort of a place for two reasons. First, I like to come here because the Spirit of God is here, and God works here, and I like that. Another thing that I like about this, it's preparatory place for us to the place we're going to. Now, we're here for a short space of time, and we're not going to be here much longer. Some of us folks who are as old as I am cannot expect to be here much longer. And it'll be a wonderful thing when we leave this old world to shout the praise of God for the last time and to go home to glory to God. I say it's a wonderful thing for a man to be living ready to meet God here in this world. I appreciate God because I can depend upon God. I appreciate Him because I've tried Him out on a good many different lives. In fact, many, many lives. And I've never had Him fail me yet. And I don't believe He will as long as I line up to the Word of God. And folks, this afternoon, I want to talk to you a little bit about something that's of vital importance. And that is God's church here in this world. Especially the inner workings of that church. Some people have gotten the idea that the church of God is a haphazard sort of a thing that just floats around, does the best it can, doesn't have any system, doesn't have anything to hold it together, doesn't have any thing that would make it represent what they are. But folks, I'm going to tell you that's a mistake. Yeah. God church is the best organized thing in this world. It's the best equipped thing that there is in this world. It's equipped so that God heaven rules the whole thing. Now, I have a little diagram up here. Maybe you can see it from back there. If you cannot, I'll do my best to explain what it means over the Word of God. Now, as we search the Word of God, remember this, that the Word of God is going to judge us sometime. And what it's going to judge us, that'll be the final judgment. And we're in the preliminary judgment now. God is teaching us some things as we go down a life's journey, getting us ready for something. I don't have any idea at all, no doubt in my mind. Well, some of us will go away from here and never come back to another campground here. But you know, that won't make a bit of difference if we're ready to go out to meet God. And I am glad this afternoon that I can testify that I'm ready to leave this old world without a moment's warning. My consecration reaches the death line. I do not know what I'm going to go through with. Neither does it bother me a bit about what might be ahead of us. We may be burnt to stake or something of that kind, but that don't make a bit of difference anyhow. And we have to die somewhere anyhow. And so it's appointed a man to die. And so it won't make any difference how he dies or when he dies, if he's ready to go and when he does go. Now, how do we hear from the Word of God that does as much good as it is that which we get down in the heart? And it becomes a part of us and in our life here in this world. I'm sometimes made to wonder if other people, all the people that profess to be saints of God, enjoy the blessing of God in their soul like the Word of God holds up the devil to. Go around with their head down and groaning and like something God has bad along with them. I do not see that as being a true picture of the child of God. The true picture of the child of God is happy every day of his life. Doesn't matter what goes and what comes and what may disturb him on the outside. In his heart, he's got peace that passes understanding. And he's going to spend eternity somewhere, and that somewhere, now this is going to be transferred after a while. I don't know when that's going to take place. Neither do anybody else. But I do know one thing. We can be ready for the translation when it happens here in this world. We can be ready. Have everything in perfect order. I think this group of people that are in this representation here is a group of people that's living like the Word of God teaches. Now, you take the normal churches over the country here, about 666 or possibly 700, and you put them together, you do not find any two of them are working alike. Now, you take the different churches, not any of them work like this. It's the only one of its mother. Nothing work like it. Does not have any stepsisters, grandmothers, or grandfathers. And they're all a blood kin, a spiritual blood kin in that place there. And what makes it that way? They're born in that. The whole family in heaven and earth is in this place here. And they're living there, ready for the translation when the appointed time that comes around. Now, here in this place this afternoon. There's one over here, I think. Now, imagination of that is heart and mind, but the finished product shows how that's equipped in good to make together in order. And so at this church here, we live together and for a habitation of God and through the Spirit.
Yeah.
Not professor. For a habitation of God. God lives in here. That's what makes it as so wonderful and for us to have it in our very being. And so if God is dwelling in us, He's dwelling in you richly there, and that makes if you to live like the Bible teaches you to live, and if you live that way, that'll make you ready for heaven. Folks, I'm ready for heaven. I'm striving all I know how to do to be ready for heaven. I don't know when I'm going to get a transfer from this old world to the other side. I'm not bothered about that either. Not one bit. Sometimes I get that kind of knocked out, maybe don't feel real good, but I'm trusting God. I don't take any medicine. I don't dope up or something. Neither do I get scared and go to a doctor for an examination. I don't do that. Never have done that. Because we don't need that. In the body of Christ, and He's equipped with everything that's needful. I say that. I mean that so. I've been right in here among this group of saved people. Now, I say church God, and that is a group of people that's lived according to the Word of God. That makes God church, and that makes a habitation for God to dwell in spirit. You know, in all the churches, except this one I'm talking about, man has a prominent part. He's just somebody up there today. So we had the privilege here a little while ago of seeing a man that believed that you couldn't live without committing sin, and he also believed if you ever got saved, you'd already be saved regardless of what you do. But the man got among the saints of God and found out he didn't have what they taught from the Word of God. And so he just made a line for the altar. Him and his wife both got down before God and repented it and poured out the heart of God, and God saved him just like He saved anybody else, but He put them two backs over in this place. Holy temple.
It's the Lord.
No sinners in there, is there?
No.
You talk a man about somebody being holy, or you say you're holy, what would we expect of you? What would you think we ought to expect you to be? How would we think you ought to live? You say you're holy.
Yeah.
If I would be addicted to the drink habit, and I said I'm a holy man, and I go down to town and get me a bottle of some kind of stuff to drink, would you think I was holy? Listen, a man's conversation will tell what he is. If his conversation is trashy, up and down, he's telling jokes and all them kind of filthy things like that. Listen, I see too much joking among our people here. Well, I don't believe we can have a lot of foolishness about us. This is too sacred a thing, folks, for us to get mixed up with things like that. And we're talking about God and God's goodness and God's love to us. Then and we taper off with some foolishness. You know, that just spoils that. That just gives the wrong taste. It don't just exactly taste right. You know, I see here a greater responsibility than I've ever saw in all my life on the ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You better be careful that you preach the Word of God just exactly like it is. Don't put any of your construction on it at all. Just let the Holy Ghost put the construction on that, and it'll work out all right. If I would put my suggestion on that as to what it would mean, I'd get myself into trouble and maybe somebody else. But if the Holy Ghost gives the interpretation to you and He gives the interpretation to me, we'll both of us get the same interpretation. And we'll go away equipped to speak the same thing on these lives. Now, if you get the right thing in your heart, it'll make you love your enemy. You treat him right, no matter what he does to you. He may knock you down and stomp you a few times, but you still love him. I had to consecrate one time, shortly after I was saved. I had to concentrate to let a little bit of a fellow. He weighed about 140 pounds. And I was about 185, stout as I could be. And so this man told me, "I'm going to whip you." Well, I said, "All right, if you just feel that way, I'm going to look to God for grace enough to help me take that." And you know, I concentrated like that, just take a thrashing without any resistance whatever from that man. I knew in my heart I could take that man down just time, but he couldn't move. But that wasn't what God wanted me to do. You know, our weapons are not carnal. We don't have warfare like that. We love folks. Our weapons, and with that which we work out by kindness and by God's love. You know that goes a long ways? You get somebody that's treating you real bad, and you go and just treat them right good and see if they don't will after a while. I've thought that way many, many times. But if we become selfish and we become retaliating, we manifest things in our heart that is not Christ-like. They know that. Sinners know a lot of things that we think they don't know. They know how you ought to treat them. Sure they do. If you don't treat them that way, they're going to find out something wrong with you on this one. I'm going to say this. Every saved soul, and I believe there are some in the different churches here in there. We have a woman back down close to where we live. In fact, we see her about every other day or so. That woman belongs to the Catholic Church. But that woman prays and praying for sick folk. That woman is so tender in heart that she would not do anything in the world that's wrong. But we see her on these lines. Now, I don't know what that woman, I don't know about what down her heart, but that woman is living a careful life here in this world. If I brought a soul woman in my life, I wouldn't dare to question a woman like that. And some people say, well, has she belonged to a church? It's not what church you belong to, it's how you live in this world. If you live right, God will see after the other part of that. But joining a church will not help you out.